The thoughts that I have today are going to find a place to manifest in my future. Dr. Leaf made it clear. Your thoughts will manifest into your life at some point. It's coming forward. And if I think from fear, if I think from a place outside of God, she said scientifically, 75 to 98% of diseases that we could possibly catch originated with our thought life. It's an amazing, amazing statistic. She went on to say that they, as they studied, and it was an unfortunate part of the study, that only 2% of people in their studies actually changed over 5 years and didn't just stay in the place where they were in their thinking, expectations. And so 98% of the people in their study after 5 years was in the same thought patterns. And we call those strongholds if it's not a God thought pattern. In the same places, but probably singing the song moving forward, but staying in the same place. So we have to be those of the 98% that go and say, wait, 98% follow us, kind of like the two spies. Follow us into the place that God has promised us because we believe and trust in God. Do you believe and trust in God? Yes. If that is you, then you have access to certain things. And I just want to entitle today's message, Access Point. Apostle Staten, when she came over the weekend, she told us that she was bringing not only a word, but a realm. And I want to make that relevant to you. God's word isn't just something for good morals, but it's actually a spiritual door by faith that you can go into whatever that realm, whatever that word opened up. And by faith, you actually have to go into it and walk in it. You can't sit on the outside of a word and get that word to produce for you, but you have to go into the word. I'll give you an example. The father of faith, Abraham, he was given a word that if he left his mother and father's country and went to a land where he didn't know where it was, but followed God to a place that God had already prepared, God had already made things and set it up, it was ready for him to go there, but he was going to have to go forward with God, not knowing how to lead himself, but trust God to be his shepherd. Scripture says that Abraham left, and the Bible says that was called faith, and so he was able to walk in the manifestation of what that word promised, because he went through the door of that word. Now, if he would have stayed where he was and said, oh, God showed up and told me he's going to do this for me and he's going to do that for me, he would never enter the realm. But by faith, he moved into the word. And so we must move in the word of God to be able to enter into the realm in which God makes all promises to be yes and amen. So we're going to look at a few places in Scripture. I kind of want to go back from the conference. There was so much to talk about. I hope you didn't forget it already. I hope you're getting stirred up still. I hope you're going over your notes. Because the Bible says that immediately when God puts his word out, the enemy tries to come and steal that word immediately. Why? Because he wants you to stay in the same old. He doesn't want you to walk through the door of it. He doesn't want you to access the realm and the power of it because he has no strength against the power of God. He has no word to speak against the power of God unless he can get you to believe his word over God's word. And so he will immediately try to cast seeds where God plants to get you to be mindful of what he said. We know the story of Adam and Eve, and he simply used a word to get Adam and Eve to yield all authority of mankind and to enter in. They entered into sin and death. And Scripture tells us that immediately after they ate, the Lord, walking in the garden, he sent his voice, he sent his word to them, and they hid from his word. They hid from his voice, and they hid from the presence of God. And when they asked him, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? He said, well, we hid because we were afraid, because we knew we were naked. And so we see that sin brought on a fear to be with God. Sin brought on a fear. When God spoke his word, they tried to hide from it. So, through Jesus Christ, to be fearless, by faith, which anything that overcomes the world is your faith, right? It's what's born from above. God gave us this faith through Christ Jesus. That now, by faith, when we hear God's voice, we run to it and away from sin. When we know God's presence is there, we run to it as safety and salvation and not away from it. If I find myself still hiding from God, then maybe I'm still walking in the word of sin and death. But if I find myself running to him, then I know what King David, when he danced before the Lord, bringing the presence of God into the city to establish the nation, that God is going to remain, and he's for us, not against us. If God be for us, who can stand against us? And he brought the presence of God in, and as the king, he danced naked, unashamed before the Lord. Well, now this is a big difference between Adam and Eve hiding in nakedness, ashamed of their nakedness, and didn't want to be present with God. But King David, by faith, God present, lost his clothes and worshiped God, and he was not afraid. Because the presence of God didn't bring him fear, but it brought him joy. It brought him peace. It brought him confidence. It brought him assuredness. It brought the promises to him. Do you seek God's face? Do you seek God's presence? Do you seek God's word? And I'm going to show you that the access point into everything God has for you will always come by a very specific door. So right now in this place, there's many doors that you just can't see naturally, but there's a door here. And I just want you to imagine right before me, there's this door. And it's here. But natural eyes cannot see it. And a door becomes present anytime God speaks to a man. Anytime God's word goes forth, there is a door into God's presence. It's an invitation. So if God says, enter into my rest, he has to speak. And by faith, if you hear that, you have the right to go through a door that no man can see. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. And you can enter in, and when you go in, you know you're leaving old things behind, and you're coming into the newness of God's presence, God himself. And you go there, not hiding from him, but the Bible says you come boldly to him in confidence, standing in the righteousness of Christ, bringing the joy of restoration, God and man back together. It's possible to go to church and hide from God. It's possible to sing in the choir and hide from God. It's possible to preach the gospel and hide from God. So you can't say, but I did this and I did that. For Jesus said, yeah, but I never knew you. You didn't want me present, and you never came through the door. So today I'm inviting you through the door. Amen. Amen? Amen? If I think about it, when I hide from God, it's because there's a fear there. And the greatest fear that we have is, I'm not worthy because of my sin. And I'm very conscious of myself. And because of me, I won't go in. But by faith, this is what faith does. Faith has a concentration on Christ and his word and trusting and believing. And by faith, the blood of Jesus washes me clean from all unrighteousness. And so when I go through in faith, I'm counting on Jesus. I'm counting on him to come in blameless. If I'm going to walk in and not be in trouble with Daddy, it's going to be because of Jesus. I walk through the door that Jesus gave me. For Jesus, Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Dropping down to verse 14 in John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the door, and he comes as a word to you and to me. And anybody that comes in has access to the Father. And we don't have access ashamed and afraid, but we come with praise and thanksgiving. He said, enter my courts and enter into my gates. Come into my presence, thanking me with praise and thanksgiving. Be excited to come into God's presence. You don't go into God, creator of all things, presence, any old way. If somebody taught you, well, you just, you know, talk to God however you want to talk to him. Say what it, be careful. Show me that word so you can go through that door. If it's not a word from God, it's not a door to him. If it's not a word from God, what you think is not a door to God. What you believe by faith that he has said is a door to God. When you enter into what God has for you, it's possible, however many people are standing before me today, for all of us to hear the word, but only some of us to actually go into it. Because the requirement is this: every time God's word is spoken, just as the man who was laying down at the pool, waiting for the waters to be troubled, and he had his own mat, and Jesus coming told him to take up his bed and walk, that man had to walk in that word. He had to enter in. And how did he enter in? He grabbed his mat and walked. I have found that every time God speaks, I'm required to take my mat and walk. Because anything now outside of what he just said, anything outside of it is a dead thing. Anything outside of life is dead. And Jesus says, I only came to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. So he said, teach all people to do everything I say. This is the faith that we have. If he is Lord and Savior, if he is the light of the world, when he speaks, his word is access to whatever he said. It is the pathway of where I'm going. How do I move forward? I'm so excited, but I don't know where to go. Well, Doug said, you're going to have to forgive some people to keep going forward. Yeah. Why? Because that's what the word said. That's just what the word said. So you have to enter into it. You can't bypass the word and go through the door. His word is life. So once he speaks to you, every time he speaks to you, you're not required to sit there and say, oh man, that was an awesome word. You're required to take up your bed and go in boldly with praise and thanksgiving and enter in so you can be in the realm of the presence of God. And as we do that, scripture tells us that's what we call going faith to faith, glory to glory. We started this year as a year of authentic transformation. The idea that we don't want to try to appear in our own strength that we're godly or holy. We want to authentically be like God has called us to be. I don't want to try to act like a child of God. I want to be a child of God. And so we talked about how we have to be authentic as Christians, because the world can check out and say, hypocrite, real easy. And that just strengthens their position of, well, this is why I don't follow God, or this is why I don't go to church, or this is why I don't believe that, or this is why. And oftentimes it's the saints that becomes the number one reason why other people don't go to church. Why? Because we have to be authentic, which means we have to walk in the doors in which Jesus opens and invite people in. We have to live in those places. We have to not only bring words to people, but realms. We have to give them access as we have access. And when they don't use the access, scripture says, you shall be a royal priesthood. The priest went in to make atonement for the sins of others and say, Lord, Johnny doesn't know you, but I'm coming present and I'm bringing his name to the altar today. Because of our relationship, I'm asking you to open a door. I plant, someone else might water it, but you're the God who can bring increase into his life. Lord, I'm asking you, save Johnny. You have to use your access. Scripture says that Jesus tore the veil of separation, opened up the very presence of the holies of holies, where before only one man on the planet had access to go into the holies of holy, and he only went in once a year. And when he went in, he was thinking, if I ain't right, I'm going to die. And he only went in there to make atonement for the sins of the people who were in faith and following the camp. But now, through Jesus Christ, the final atonement for our sins, he tore the veil of separation and has invited all of us in through the door of himself by the blood of Jesus washing you clean to go present with God, asking anything that you would have need of and getting your needs met from him and not from dead things on the outside. He called us into this new life. He called us to participate. And so what advantage has Jesus tearing the veil given to this church? Because if we don't go in, his labor was in vain. I tore the veil. Awesome, wonderful. We know, we're going to tell everybody, Jesus tore the veil. You should listen, Jesus tore the veil. But we never go in. We know through authentic transformation, very specifically, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us that the change that we have in our life, we change into the very image of God, glory to glory. Now, glory to glory means this. You have to go present to where God is and his glory is. You have to go and have meetings with him. And this is what changes you. This is true, authentic transformation, to be present with him. You know, I told the choir the other day about the man that had the mat, and God told him, take up your bed and walk. The next time that we find this man in Scripture, guess where he's at? He's in the temple, giving offerings, making sacrifices, seeking after God, praising God. Sometimes we'll take a word from God to walk away from the temple. I just wanted strength to get up. Now that I'm up, thank you. And we don't use it to enter in to his presence. We take it to go out of his presence. Jesus looked at the man and said, and I'm going to tell you something, be very careful. He said, make sure that you don't go and sin again, or it's going to be worse for you than it just was when I met you. Now, here's what I want you to see with that. I don't want you to just picture sin. Oh, no, if I make one sin, I'm in trouble. No, we know by faith the atonement of sin, but I want you to see it like this. If you leave here and take your bed and just find a new place to lay outside of me, if you just go lay back down somewhere in your bed, leave my presence and go lay back in a place outside of me, that condition is going to be worse for you than the first one. You have to abide in my presence. The rich young ruler said, what must I do to have eternal life? He wanted eternal life. Oh, by the way, he's talking to eternal life right there. He's talking to eternal life. And eternal life told him this. You really want eternal life? Take all that you have and use it to follow me. And he was really upset. Because he just wanted a word that told him, I'll give it to you, but you really don't even have to go in. You got it right where you're at. Keep laying where you're at. Be blessed and holy. Praise the Lord. He didn't want to use what he had to go into the presence of eternal life and to stay in the presence of eternal life. Instead, he wanted eternal life to crown him, leave him, and say, oh, and by the way, no matter what, you're still going to get the reward. Thank you. But Scripture says that we have to enter into the things of God. So are you walking in the words of the conference for those of us that were here for the conference? Are you walking in the word of the last thing God said to you? And that comes to this point. What is the last thing God said to you? Now, I know corporately he speaks, and even now you can use one of the scriptures I just said. But what of those scriptures, what of this message is God saying to you? Though I'm speaking corporately, the Holy Spirit is talking to you and making it clear what he's saying to you. Are you walking in that? I'll give you an example. I heard someone say rest, reset, release, and restoration. Did you rest differently on purpose by faith? If you didn't, you're still standing on the outside of the door. Did you purposely rest different? Oh, God said rest. It's a wonderful word. It's going to come one day. And there's the door the whole time. Eventually, rest is going to meet me. Because sometimes we can't see God giving us rest and still having the job. We can't see having rest and the kids still acting crazy. We can't see rest and still have circumstance. Because we think rest is no more circumstance. And God says, no, 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 no. I'm purposely going to leave you in the world. Oh, but don't worry. You're not going to be of the world. But you have to come in. Are you in? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in. Oh, girl, I'm your Huckleberry. Is that right? I asked him a question. He was the one that got my attention to Dr. Caroline Leaf. He says, turn your TV on this station right now, and this lady is saying some stuff that you got to hear. Turn the TV on, decided that we're going to go for it. We're going to try to get this lady to stand right here where I'm at. And so I was texting him. He was in Texas. I said, if we get Dr. Caroline Leaf here, will you come for the conference? And he says, that sounds mighty nice, I'll see what I can do. And he started to kind of tell me stuff, and I said, that's just not, I'm going to put it in my own words, that's just not working for me, Uncle. I'm going to ask you again, if I get Dr. Caroline Leaf, will you be there? You know, really try, we're going to put our best foot forward. I said, you're not hearing me. I said, I'm looking for something like I'm your Huckleberry. I'm looking for something like absolutely. I'm looking for something like let's go. Which means take all excuses off. Don't do the wait and see approach, but immediately come in and abide it there. I'm going forward for sure. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Immediately. And so, what did you text me back?
I asked you, you said something like you were looking for someone that run, and I said, well, basically I did a rendition of that.
We were going back, Doc Holliday and the other guy from Tombstone, we were going back with words like, he said, well, I was just playing about. I wouldn't, you know. We were going back and forth. Until finally he said the word, and when he said it, I sealed it. Boom! Now, I don't have to wonder, is he coming?
Right.
Now, I can make future plans, knowing he'll be there. Some of us as saints, the church can't make future plans with you because we don't know if you're coming. We just don't know if you're going to be there, if you're in, if you're out. We just don't know all the time. And so you have to kind of put their name in pencil. Because you don't know if you can count that they're in on this thing. So the question is, are you in? What are you in for? Now, you're not in on my plans. And you're not in on apostles' plans. You're in on what God says, what he invites us into. That's where we're supposed to go into, right? It wouldn't be good if I preached with no scriptures.
Amen.
Wouldn't be good at all. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, starting from verse 1. We're going to read down a ways. I'm going to do it from the Amplified, probably already in the back. See how fast they did that? Thank you. It reads, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, R-E-S-T. So this door, this offering is still here today. It's still a door present. Let us be afraid to distrust it. Now, we used to be afraid to go through it because we were afraid to be present with God because we were naked. By faith, the scripture is telling us the fear I want you to have is to not go in. I want you to be afraid to be without him. That's a different fear. I don't want to go. Moses said, Lord, wait, we're not going anywhere if you don't go. Don't send us and just send an angel with us. We need you with us. If you're not going, these are your people, not my people. And so a fear to not go in God's presence. This is what it's saying, which means immediately when I know God is on the other side of a door, I have something in me that says, hurry up and get in with him. Because I'm not going to stand on the outside of God's presence. There's a fear to be without God when he has so graciously put a door to go with God. But it takes faith to walk in. And it says, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Can you imagine just kind of waiting and then all of a sudden you see, oh no. This is my last moment. This is my last moment. I'm about to die. Hey, open quickly. And suddenly you don't have the faith to go through because you're moving in fear, not faith. He says, don't be like that. Lest any of you should think that he's come too late and come short. I'm not sure if you saw Tommy Boy going to get his grades. But Tommy Boy went to get his grades, and he got to the door. Oh, the door was locked. And he started shaking. Oh, no, I missed it. And this had to do with graduation from college. And he found out that he was pulling on the door, and it was a push door. If you feel you come to the door and it was shut, I just want you to know it's open today. But you need to read the sign. And you can't just do it how you think you should do it. You have to do it how he said to do it. All right, let's keep going. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, the word which gives us access. The word of God is preached to give you and I access. The word of God is preached so you can come into things. You have access into things. Well, what do I have access into? Tell me the word he said, and I'll tell you what you can go into. Did he say rest? You have access into God's rest. Did he say restoration? You have access into restoration. Did he say peace? You have access into peace. What did he say? Because that's the door you can walk in. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached, I would underline this in my Bible, it did not profit them. The word did not profit them. And it was the same word you got, the same word I got. It profited some people and made the poor say, I am rich. And it left some people to say, I'm still poor. Same word, same offer, same access, same realm, but only some profited from it. It says the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So at all the messages you've ever heard, all the Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Bible studies, devotions, internships, choir songs, I don't know, just wherever you get the word. If it's the word of God and you don't mix it with faith, that you hear it and put it into your life and go in, those words don't profit you. They don't profit you. Can you imagine the riches of all God's treasury being accessible and not profiting? Can you imagine all things that pertain to life and godliness given to you and never going into it? Can you imagine that? That's like winning, the best that I can do in comparison, but it still doesn't compare, winning the Powerball for $555 million, having the ticket, knowing you have the ticket, and living your life with the ticket in your pocket. And then getting mad at your wife because she went and bought some shoes. Why? Because you're laying your bed right back down where you were before as if nothing has changed because you didn't access the new realm of possibility. You have to profit with God. Because he's expecting to profit from you. Profit from me? Yes. He expects anybody that receives from him to be like the mustard seed. It might have started small. He said, but don't despise small beginnings. Because if you see the end of what this seed can do, if you see the end of what this will produce, you're going to lend to nations. Oh, but not if you don't go through the door, you're not lending. You're not even lending to your neighbor. In fact, you're the one going over there, yeah, don't have anything for the kids' lunch. Do you have? Instead, we should be providing lunches for the kids and put a word in there so they can enter into the realm. For man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, we're reading on. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. It's the same word. But we, the ones that went through the door, we're the ones that enter into it. Are you in? Then what are you worried about things on the outside for? Why are you worried about all that stuff where you used to lay your bed? Did you go in to see if God would make it more comfortable without? I'll give you an example of what that looks like. Pastor, pray for me to have a car. Well, before I do, you going to start showing up on time? Because whatever you get from in here is supposed to help you stay here. Whatever you get there is supposed to help you be where he is, abide where he is, remain where he is, have what he has. And so if you're asking me to agree and you haven't shown that your bed is rolled up and you're no longer going to lay there, that's like someone on the side with that sign that says, not gonna lie, just need a beer, every dollar will help. Once you told me that, by faith, I am not allowed to participate with you. Because you're telling me I'm gonna go lay in this bed, out of God's best for me, out of my future, not going forward. It's going to be the same the next day. I just want you to help me in the same old, same old. And we who are in the newness of life have to be like Jesus and offer newness of life. If they shall enter in my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So when you enter into these doors, you'll find it's already done. Usually we wait on the outside waiting for it to be done. I wish God could work faster sometimes, you know. Come on, God. But when you go in by faith, you find out that whatever that word is, it's already done. He already did it. He did it a long time ago. You don't see a bunch of people scurrying and trying to get stuff in order. Oh, someone came in. Get it ready. You know how when you get visitors at your house you weren't expecting? And you have a certain whistle you can blow and every kid knows? Spray the bathroom. Put the dishes in the dishwasher dirty just like they are. Hurry. Keep them in the foyer for one more minute. You come out. Hi. Oh, God is good. It's already finished. Which means if it's already finished, you don't have to do it. Out here, you have to do it. In here, he did it. Out here, you try to do it. Are you still trying to do it? Are you still trying to do it? Are you still trying to get rather than to receive? Are you still trying to make rather than enter in? Joe said he tried to work out a house. God wouldn't even let him work it out. No, I just want you to have a house. No, I want to buy one. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? If God already knows what he wants to do with you, we can argue with God and get mad and frustrated because we wanted to buy it. And he's trying to give it to us. We heard the testimony. Anybody hear the testimony? God has opened up all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you have to go through the door. And if it's not mixed with faith when he speaks, it's just a nice word. In 5 years from now, there's no way we can be in the same place. Because yesterday's gone and today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, rain on me. I got some scriptures to go to, but I'm not going to hold you long. We will be out right on time. Lots to do. There you go. I was looking for someone to talk to me. You always extend the invitation of, oh no, really, I shouldn't. Because all we need is one amen. Is that right? If I can just get one, I'm going. Have you entered in? Every time God speaks, there's access. Drop down to verse 12. For the word of God, it's that quick. The word's quick. Yeah, I just don't see how that's possible. I just don't know how you can do it. I've been toiling all night. We tried to catch fish. There's no fish here. There's nothing here. There's nothing. Just cashing it on the other side. And it happened so fast that their nets broke. They couldn't handle it. Quick. Why? Because the word is just inviting you in what's done. So it doesn't have to take forever. He's inviting you in what's done. So it's the word is quick. Jesus speaking in John 6:63 says, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and life. The spirit quickens. Quickens. It makes a dead thing alive suddenly. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder. Put this in the Amplified. There's a special thing it says in the Amplified that I think is going to shake you up a little bit. I think you'll like it. For the word that God speaks, so God has to speak. Where is God speaking in your life? What means does he use? Where do you find you're getting fed? Where is the word of God being tunneled and funneled to you? Wherever that is should be a celebrated place. Wherever that is should be a holy, set-apart, sacred place to you. Wherever God speaks to you, whatever the outlet that God brings you, his word, where it's authentically his word, and not just the words of man, that should be a hallowed place. It should be a well that you don't let the devil put earth in to fill it so you can't get water. That's the old trick of the devil. Fill it in with flesh. Let your flesh get offended. Let your flesh get in the way. And now you'll throw flesh into living water wells. Where does the word of God, where's your well of word? Where's your well? You should honor that place. If it's from a donkey, that should be the best treated donkey. Is that right? If the word comes from the mouth of a donkey, oh, God spoke through a donkey. Man, that donkey would be well taken care of in my house. But I have found that often we don't even know. Because we don't see when good comes. We don't see that as the door. We just see, I can go get another message or I can go try to make it happen. But the word that God speaks, it's alive and it's full of power. It's not just words. It's realms. It's not just a voice or a sound. It's access. Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. If the word's not active, operative, and energizing, and effective in your life, you have to decide whether you're in the word. You have to decide. If it's not that, that's not how that word is. The word is actually able to do what it was sent to do. It's full of power, full of ability. And it's right in front of you. I'm trying to stir you up a little bit. That was a hallelujah moment. And no one said nothing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line, watch this, of breath of life, soul, and immortal spirit. So, Dr. Leaf said that there is spirit, soul, and body. These three are three different parts, but they're all working together. Now, if my life is backwards, I work from my flesh to my mind or my soul to the reality of my subconscious and my spirit. But in God, when His word comes, it brings a distinction that this is from the spirit. It's given to your mind or your soul, which is your free will, your ability to choose. And if it goes this way from God, it will get down all the way into the marrow of your bones. But if you bypass it with your free will and your soul, that word isn't going to have any effect to manifest in the natural realm we're supposed to be sent to. And instead, you'll go backwards from this natural realm. You'll say, well, no, but I feel like this. And yeah, not only do we feel like this, but this happened once before to us. And then we say, God, that's not true. And we send it back. We reject it. Return to sender. We take the word and send it back to him. Nobody by that address living here. So every time the word comes, he's sending it, but it has to go from your spirit to your soul and command it, according to Dr. Caroline Leaf, command your brain to do it. Use your right hand and open the door. Yeah, but I don't see a door. I don't know if there's a door. There's no door. I don't know about a door. Shut up. Open the door. Well, I don't know what's in there. What's in there? I don't want to go in there. Walk. Hey! What if I don't want to? You're not in charge. I command my soul to bless the Lord. We're going in. You have to command yourself to go in. I don't feel like doing anything. That song messed some people up. Because they're going backwards. They're going from here, laying in their bed, and commanding back how this is going to go. And the word has no place in that. But the word is active, effective, and able. I just wanted to share this with you. The dividing line of breath and life, soul, and immortal spirit, and of joint and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging every thought and purposes of the heart. When that word comes, it sets everything in order. If anything's out of order, nope. That's why when Jesus came into Palm Sunday, came into Jerusalem, sitting sideways on a donkey, everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, he's coming in, woo! But when he got in, he went into the temple and turned over tables. This same Prince of Peace that came in peace on a donkey whipped some people in the temple. Why? Because he went to the heart of the city and he was going to analyze and check out the purposes and the way things are functioning in there. And he's going to put it in order so that we have access to everything he has for us. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you still treat people real bad. I was a witness to some of it over the conference. Just nasty. But can still praise God. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not us. That's not... Maybe I used to be like that. I'm not like that no more. When a word goes out, if I'm going to receive it, there has to be some rejoicing in it. Otherwise, I truly don't see it. So it's hard to be rejoicing and nasty at the same moment. And there was a lot of words being said at the conference. But our focus isn't that. That's not my focus. My focus is, will we enter into the things? I'm just inviting some people in that stood out. And for who is that? Give me a name. I'll give you one name. You ready? Jesus. It's the only name. It's the only name you need. Go in. Well, yeah, but you don't know what she said to me. Okay. Then lay back down and get comfortable. Because you're going to be there a while. Just lay down. Pastor, could you get me a pillow? I can't comfort you there. I can't comfort you there. Some people want to be comforted there. We're going forward. I cannot comfort you there. I hope this is getting in your bones. It is getting in your bones. You know, there's a billion scriptures in my spirit, because if you combine them certain ways, you realize, oh, if you add this one and that one, you have combos from it. And you can start putting scriptures together, and you realize there's so many combinations of what you have. And when you start learning that all you need to do, like a safe, all you need to do, guess what? God says he's so close to you, he's even in your mouth. That means you can speak a scripture and make a door for you. You can get stuck in the wilderness and there's nothing there, and you can say in the name of Jesus, you can command a door by speaking his word, and you can enter in. He said, I'm so close, I'm in your mouth, come on in. Did you know you can make a door? Did you know by faith that's our portion? Did you know that? Did you know that you can be in a situation and say, Jesus! And he said, listen, I want you to know that I hear you immediately, quick. So when we get into a situation, we're supposed to speak the word of God that dwells richly in us. And we need to enter into the word we spoke ourselves. Don't say, Jesus, and then cuss someone out. Don't say, I can do all things through Christ, and then won't forgive your neighbor. Enter into what you're saying. Walk in it. It's a realm. It's a light. It's real. It's authentic. It's powerful. It's available. So the last scripture we'll look at, and it'll be a quick one. Don't say amen. John 10:6. John 10:6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I hear you. I just don't see it. Do you see it today? Do you see it? Do you see it? Scripture says, unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. But to us, it's been given to know the mysteries. Us, by faith. Can you see it? What do you look like in Jubilee? How do you walk by vision in Jubilee? What does it look like for you to be knowing that all things are being restored? What is that? How do you walk? How's your countenance in that vision? Who's the focus in that vision? How you doing being released from all your debts? What does that look like for you? Is there a level of joy to it? Do you, what does it look like? Are you walking like that? Are you talking like that? Are you singing like that? Are you giving like that? The parable Jesus spoke to them, but they understood not the things which were spoken. I just want you to confess, I understand.
I understand.
I understand.
I understand.
I understand.
I understand.
I get it, Jesus. I get it. I see. I recognize. And I'm going to go forward. So I just want you to stand with me.